Okay, we are the bottom of Gimel Aleph. Hopefully, everyone had a chance to chazer nicely. I chazered over Shabbos a little bit. I was able to finally understand better the sugya of Eid Eimba, even though it's a few times already. Hopefully, you have a better understanding of yourselves. We're at the towards the bottom of the page of Gimel Aleph. The Gemara had discussed three different scenarios where we find Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel arguing whether a mitzvah was a chova or whether it was a reshus. One of them was our sugyas of sota. Is it a mitzvah or a chova? Sorry, is it a chova or a reshus for a person to be mekana, to do kinoi or not? We had quoted earlier on as a source that the ruach that you get is must be ruach tara. Otherwise, how can we ever say something's a mitzvah or even a chova or a reshus to bring my upon itself ruach tuma? It's got to be a ruach tara. And the Gemara explains over here that the habmi would have been, we should never do kinoi with your wife because that kind of violates the idea of loving your fellow man, not having ill will towards him in your heart. And we needed a pasuk to allow us now to go through the process of the sota. Okay. We are right now, five lines from the bottom of the page, lo yitzma.
Which page?
Page daf, gimel aleph. Gimel aleph, five lines from the bottom of the page, gimel aleph. The Gemara, the Torah says, lo yitama, that you should become tamei to her, la yitama. So Gemara says Rishus to Rabbi Yishmael. Yishmael says that's a Rishus. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chover. Rabbi Kiva says actually there's an obligation to take care of your relatives, particularly your sister who is who becomes Tame, who has never been married, is a Basula. It's a Chova. My time with Rabbi Yishmael, why does Rabbi Yishmael say it's only a Rishus? So Adi Dechsev, since it states, Emor Elakonim B'nei Aaron, Emar Telehem L'Nefesh Lo Yitama B'Amav. Again, if the Torah tells you you're allowed to become Tameh, or you should become Tameh to her, how could you say it's a Rishus? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Rabbi Shmuel holds it's only Rishus, because there's another pasuk it has to kind of counter. The pasuk says, tell all the Kohanim, the Bnei Aaron, listen to the Nefesh, lo yitama ba'amav, do not become Tameh to anyone in your nation. And therefore, that's already a prohibition of becoming Tameh. It's tricha l'michtav lo yitama. So the statement of la yitama, become tamei to her, is just countering that iser, which now allows you, not demands of you, but allows you to become tamei to your achoso akruva abasula, to your unwed sister who's never been married beforehand. To her, you are allowed to become tamei. Again, you would have thought you couldn't become tamei because the Torah says, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, you don't become tamei to anyone in your nefesh. Over here we learn, no, la yitzamas, Rabbi Shmuel, that you are permitted to become tamei to your sister. Nu, Rabbi Kiva, what do you can say back to that? Usually we saw last time, we'll see it again right now. We have to have a two psukim permitting it. One pasuk is a permission, the other pasuk is a demand. Rabbi Kiva, mi chi im lishero, that's a quote, nafka. We learn out from the pasuk of chi im lishero only to the relatives that are krova to you. The next pasuk, or the prior pasuk? The next one?
The next pasuk, Aleph and
Beis. No, Chav Aleph and Chav Beis? That one?
Oh,
where are you? I thought it was the first one also. I think it's the first part of the pasuk.
That's the next pasuk.
Which one is the next pasuk?
The Ki Em Lishero.
No, I think it's Beis and Gimel.
I mean, in my upper class version, it's got the quotes that says I think it's
Beis and Gimel. I'm with him on this one. Not with that, but I think you have to buy our version if yours is incorrect. I think you better switch over.
What key English error is?
Pasuk Beis.
Yeah.
But the La Yitama is Pasuk Gimel.
Oh, okay.
You have that there or no?
No, I don't know.
Okay. That's pasuk beis.
No, that's pasuk aleph.
Yeah, correct. That's aleph. Yeah, we have two psukim right now. We're learning out the allowance of being of becoming. Aleph is when he says you can't become tamei to anybody. Then we have the pasuk that allows straight you to become straight after, and the third pasuk is la yitama.
Third pasuk, this is second
pasuk. La yitama, pasuk gimel.
Oh.
It's, you have it there also. I'm sure it's there as well. It's probably the first one of the three. It's the first one you have of the three, probably.
Aleph and Beis.
You have a third one over here. You just didn't realize it's there. I mean, because I quoted earlier, la yitama was a rishus, right? It's there. It's there. It's just, it was earlier in the Gemara, we quoted that line above.
When all the Chazaras going back and forth, we started
from Beis and we're right now on Gimel. We're not back and forth, we're just back. There's no fourth yet. Anyways, says the Gemara, we have now three Psukim. Pasuk Aleph, as Darren pointed out correctly, is the prohibition for a Kohen to come down to anybody. Pasuk Beis is the allowance, Ki'im L'Sheiro, except for these people you can become Tamei to. And Pasuk Gimel, La Yitama, you should become Tamei to her. This is Rabbi Akiva, it's a Chova. Rabbi Shmuel did not quote the first part. He only quoted the allowance from La Yitama. But we're still in the middle of Rabbi Akiva. Michi'im L'Sheiro Nafka. We learn out the allowance from the Pasuk of except for Ki'im, except for L'Sheiro, to your relatives. If that's the case, La Yitama, Lamali, L'Chova. Good. How about Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel, La Yitama. What does it mean, La Yitama? La Mitma, Ve Mitma Le'evareha. Only to her full being can you become Tamei. You cannot become Tamei to her limb, to her limbs. Rashi here points out, he quotes, let's say a woman's a leper. She's a mukashkin. She's a person who has some ailment. And her limb falls off her body. It's Avram and Achai. She's still alive. The very bottom Rashi gave him an aleph. Avram and Achai is mitame. It's mitame. We need to teach you dafka la yitamas, as Rabbi Yishmael is teaching you that to her you can become tame, but not to her body part. If her body part would fall off, again, Avram and Achai is mitame.
When she's living. So if she died, she had her head chopped off and you found her head, you can't figure that out.
So we had a whole discussion. Certain limbs of her body will be mitame anyways. Certain limbs of her body are mitame. Actually, etzem kisaor, well, is mitame, depends. Mitame, if nug, if you touch any part of her body, that's the size of a saor in your tummy. Regarding what's in an ohel, depends on. Maybe you need like her whole certain parts of her frame have to be there. Rove evareh, but regarding the idea of her, if she has a limb of her body fall off, and you think maybe I should bury it, but the halacha is you're supposed to bury a limb, you're supposed to bury it, but not if she's still alive. Only to her body to become tamei, and not to her limb. So what does la yitama mean? It's not a second source for saying you can become tamei, that you must become tamei. It's a chova. Relaitama means dafka to her you can become tame, but not to a part of her body that when it fell off, God forbid, when she was still alive. And therefore we only have one source, one pasuk to allow us the getting tame to a relative. And that one pasuk goes from an isser to a rishus. The isser of becoming tame to anybody. One pasuk says you can become tame to your relatives. And laitama means only her, but not for her limb if it fell off her body while she's still alive. Says Gemara, Ki'im L'Sheiro means only them can you become Tamei. And when you say them, it means La, to them, but not to their body part. Rabbi Akiva, no. What do you say back to that? That's a din. It's a fair point. Exactly. Imk, Lithav Rahmana, La. Lishtok. Just say the word La. Don't say anything beyond the word La. Yitama Lamali. Why the word Yitzma afterwards? Shema mina, his drasha of a chova. Meaning, how should the pasuk be read? Look over here at the second Rashi on the page. L'Rahman Allah, Melishtuk. Demashma, Lefesh lo Yitzma ba'amav, Ki'im l'shero, Ha'krova'i love, well, V'lach osoha besula, La, her. Kilomar, says Rashi, L'gufa shalem, Olevareh. Just say the word La. Not la yitama, just say the word la. Also basu la, la, herself. Don't say the word yitama afterwards. What's yitama saying afterwards? You must become tamei, says Rabbi Akiva. New Rabbi Shmuel, I did the cause of la, cause of nama yitama. You're right. For the drasha itself, the word la would have sufficed, would have been sufficient. However, as we know, whenever the Torah is going to repeat a line in a pasuk, teach you a new halacha, it's going to repeat it in its entirety. La, again, since it has to write the word la, kasav nami yitama. But don't learn out from the extra word. Why not? Look at the time of Rabbi Yishmael. The time of Rabbi Yishmael, kol parsha shenemra benishnis, benishnis el b'shvil davar shenishkadish ba. Any parsha that was recited and then repeated, it was only repeated for the chiddush to be brought down. The reason why it says la yitama is the word la. You're right. Yitama is extra. But the way the Torah is going to work is when it writes an extra piece, it will write it in a full sentence. Ah, Yitama would have been unnecessary, but it's necessary to complete the sentence properly. The real Chiddush there is the word La. It was Nishnes for the word La. What does La teach us? Dafka, her whole entity, not all part of her body, but the whole entire body, as Danny said. But the word Yitama, don't be darshaning that out for anything. It's the way things work. When you have a drush repeated in its entirety, for the one piece it was mentioned for, the word La.
So where's the first La?
This first word La? Not two times La, but two drushes where we learn out the allowance to become Tame. One is, according to Bishmael, the real allowance. The other, La Yitama, is telling you only to her body, but not to her limb that fell off while she was alive. Says Gemara, new, why Yitama? It says Rabbi Shmuel, because the Bay, Rabbi Shmuel, which is his base medrash, always suggests whenever you have a repeating of a din for some chiddush of repetition, it repeats the entirety of that din, but it's only for that same chiddush not to be darshaned out beyond that chiddush. Where else have we seen this idea of lishtuk? Yeah, no, it's sota. Davar davar. If the whole drusha was aid ein ba, would have meant that you get one doesn't aid ein neman ba, don't believe one aid. So what's the chiddush? Lishtok, don't say that pasuk at all. We know from davar davar, from the gzeira shava, of course you need to aid them. That's part of our aid ein ba sugya we had.
And the one we did before concerning the sota,
yeah,
that is actually written twice, and that's when we said.
What's written twice? The kineis ishto twice.
And then we said if it's learned and then learned again, it's written twice. And we said it's written twice to negate each other, kind of.
No, not to negate each other. We have again the one. It said is the pasuk says, "Lo sisa zachicha bilavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart." You would think anything that creates a level of hatred should not be done. We'd imagine that accusing your wife of being an adulteress would be a level of hatred you would be introducing to the family. Shouldn't do it. Was he allowed to do it? The kineis ishto. Again, the last pasuk here says, "Avar lav ruach kinav v'kineis ishto v'hi nitzma." Avar lav ruach kinav v'kineis ishto v'hi lo nitzma. It says it twice. Why twice? Rabbi Kiva, twice because you're allowed to. You're obligated to. Which shows us not what it means. First one means you're allowed to. And the second one's a different chiddush. What's the chiddush? Rashi over there said, if you're not sure, you're not sure, you have a suffix. You don't know. You're still allowed to do it. Why not to say the words? Well, Rashi over here says it. I could have said it that way. It would have worked in the pasuk. But whenever we're going to say another line for a chiddush, we're going to say the line in its entirety. I'm not going to shove it all under one sentence. Why? Again, the same drasha. We're teaching you a chiddush. What's a chiddush? Lonitma. Even if I don't know for sure that she was tameh, I can still have a level of kina and stira maker. So even I'm not sure whether what happened or what didn't happen. And since that's a din, and we quote the pasuk of hilonitma, I'm going to repeat the end of that pasuk as well. But don't read too deeply into it. Tana de Beri Shmuel, that the reason why it was nishnis, it was repeated a second time, was only for a certain reason, and don't read beyond that reason. What was the reason of the Gemara and Sota? Even if you're not sure, you're still allowed to bring her under this accusations.
Again, it was repeated again. Here we're just making another dorosh out of the same word, same two words.
There also. No. La Yitama over here, that way over here is not repeated. It's the only time we have La Yitama.
Here it's not repeated.
Right. There, v'kineis ishto. It's true. But what's the point of v'kineis? We have two metrics of the idea of being able to be mekana your wife. Two times we mentioned it. One we think is allowance, and one is a chova. We also have two sentences about the idea of becoming tame. One is ki'im lish'ero, and the end of it says la yitama. Two separate statements that both suggest the allowance, or maybe even obligation, of becoming tame. So Rabbi Kiva says obligation. Rabbi Shmuel says no, allowance. Why repeat it then? Because it's finishing off the sentence properly. La Yitama, we're not going to... That's what it means. It refers to that. But law was about her body. The sentence finished with the Yitama. That's how it finishes. Third and final case that we have, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva arguing about Chova versus Rishus. La Olam Bahem Tavodum. This idea over here is a drasha, an idea about allowing a person to have a slave, a Canaanite slave. Well, we'll see in a minute who the slave's from. But a slave, and if you have that slave, you're not allowed to let it go. Now we'll see again, is that a chova or is it a reshus? Meaning to always keep them as your slave. Is it a chova or that you're allowed to do that, but you don't have to do it? So reshus, Tivri Bishmol, Rabbi Kiva Omer Chova. Kiva says you're obligated to never let them go, to always keep them as a slave. My time, Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning? If it says you should, what are we saying? Oh, it means you're allowed to. So here, Itzrich. Sorry. I did the chsev lo siach yakol neshama, since it says in the Torah, do not allow any person in Canaan to live. You must destroy all the seven nations. So itzrich nam le michtav lo mem tavodu. We have to allow, right in the Torah, you can forever have them as your slave. How could that be? What happened to destroying them? Le mishrei, to permit echa mikol ha'umos, any of the seven nations, so any of the nations that are not seven nations, any of the other nations that are not one of the seven, Shaba ala Kananis, and again over here, Kananis refers to one of the seven nations, that she has relations, he has relations with a woman from these seven nations, the Kananiyah, Volid mimeno ben, and a boy is born from that, or it could be a girl even, but is born from that family, Shata Rashailik Noso, you're allowed to acquire that person. What's the reason? Why? The time of the Nebraisa, Minayin lecha mina umo shaba ala Kananis, volimeno ben, shatara shalik noso be'evet. You're allowed to, Matt, to acquire them as an evet if the male was from one of the other nations and the female was from the Kanani nation. Tamil lomar, v'gambi b'nei atoshavim, hagarim imachem, mehem tiknu. From them, you are permitted to acquire.
So, now, b'nei atoshavim are the other nations.
The set people are settling, who are living among you, but not from there.
Not from the seven nations.
Exactly. From them you can acquire. Now, if you think for a second, this should be a little difficult for us as Pasuk. How much is last time or not? But really, what was the Pasuk we said that allows you to, either allows you or obligates you to have them as a slave? Lamba Devodu. Here we see Mehem Tiknu. Right? From them you're allowed to acquire. So over here, this pasuk here, you're allowed to acquire them, but the reshus to keep them forever, lambam tavodu. But really, if you think about it, once I have mehem tiknu, that really is the allowance that Israel lets me have them as a slave right now. Right? Lambam tavodu is not really the pasuk. So shouldn't that be the second time we see it? Shouldn't that be Yehovah?
Say it again.
We originally stated, what's the source for allowing you to allow reshus? To keep a Kanani slave forever, what's the source? Right, Lolan Bem Tavodu.
Really, everybody should be killed, so you wouldn't have any servants to have.
So Lolan Bem Tavodu tells you're allowed to have, right? You're allowed to. You don't have to kill them all. Lolan Bem Tavodu, to be over there. Oh, excellent. So one of the drush I saw, maybe you'll tell me you're allowed to buy them and sell them. You're allowed to do a business with them. But you could actually have them for yourself as a slave, not so pashut. One thing, not to kill them, but to keep them. That's a whole different story. So that's, I saw someone make a drush like that. That's what we learned out from here. But it is a kasha a little bit. It is a kasha.
So if I come to Canada, I've been at two.
What, you had two beers and came this year? Or he had two beers and came this year? Ah, okay. Oh my God, that's too, one beer too many, apparently. One beer too many.
Yeah. Are you allowed to keep them alive or not?
Who? A father of
pure Kanani.
No.
So going to
the male Kanani.
So when it says male Kanani, yeah. When it says Bahem, what's
the Olam Bahem Tavodu, it's referring to a female Kanani who has relations with a non Kanani. And the boy they have goes, it's Cholech Acharana Av. When it comes to Judaism, we believe that the religion or the status of the Kohen Levi Israel goes after the father. The religion goes after the mother. Here, the status of the child where he's from goes after the father for the non-Jewish nations. If an Isha, who's a Kanani, is with a man who's not one of seven nations, they have a child. That child you're allowed to transact with and even to keep for yourself, as Dr. Rosenbaum said, one thing to be Kona and make him like a business deal, but to keep them for yourself is allowed, a Rishus, says Rabbi Shmuel, from Le'olam Ba'em Tavodum. Says the Gemara, once I have this allowance, maybe you'll tell me And it goes in both directions. As long as I have a single parent who's not from the seven nations, that parent I could also keep. Let's say it was a reverse way. A Kanani man with another woman from another nation. Whatever here says, Yachol, perhaps you tell me. Afa Kanani, the man's a Kanani. Shabal achas mina umos. Holy man uben. That she sees with another woman from another nation and has a boy. Shata Rashailik knows of Evan. Maybe you'll tell me you think also he, since he has a single parent who is not a Kanani. It's the woman in this case. Maybe also you can buy them and use them as an Eved. Talmud Lomar can't. Asher Olidu Ba'artzachem, which means Minan Olidim Ba'artzachem. There, Dafka, we say, when you're born in that land, meaning you're not a native from that land, but you're born into that land, then we let you sell them. Below Minagarim Ba'artzachem, but not from someone who dwells in the land. Over here, the Chazal point out, usually the woman stayed put, and the man would go where the woman lived. So who's the one who you're allowed to have the child and transact with them? Dalek, when someone over here is born in your land, but not is garim in your land. If they're a gar in the land, that would imply that the man is from that land. Usually, again, the man goes to the place of the female, and therefore, those who are living in your midst or born in your midst. From those who are born in your midst is the problem, but not from those who are dwelling as foreigners in your midst. Who dwells as a foreigner? Usually the woman stays put and the man goes to where the woman is from. If you're in Canaan, so the woman then would be a Canaanite.
And he's not Canaanite.
And he's not a Canaanite. How do we know? Asher olidu ba'artzachem, you can sell. Those who are born now in your midst, but not native from your area. I mean, the father's not native from your area. If the father was native, it would call it min hagarim ba'artzachem. Those who are dwelling in your area. It means you're native to that land. You'd be a Kanani. What's that? The females do guard there. But that we said before that it follows the man. If it would have been from a man, it would have said, well, here it says, you're allowed to use noladim, those who are born in the land, not those who are already living in the land. Even if a man moves to there, he's not considered a gar, Bartzchem. He's a foreigner, happening to live in that area right now, but he's not from among those who are living. Look over here in Rashi, just so we get a better understanding of this. Min noladim Bartzchem. See what that is? Banim ha-noladim Bartzchem. V'heim b'nei atoshavim. They're among those who are living here, but not native, not naturally from there. Dainu acherim shenasu ba'artzachem nashim, strangers, foreigners who came to marry women in that land, atara shaylik knows. That's what you're allowed to purchase. V'lo, says Rashi, minagarim ba'artzachem. Lo min abanim hanoladim livnei artzachem. B'makom acher mibnos shar umos. V'vi'um livneihem lagursham. Meaning, not mean from the children who are born of those who are native from that land, who are now somewhere else, who are married to wives from other places, and they bring them to their sons to live there, that's not allowed. Meaning again, if the husband was brought from Canaan to somewhere else, and now living elsewhere, that would be considered ha-garim ba'artzachem. They are usher for you to transact with, though you must get rid of. But if they're only nolad, because the father is an out-of-towner living in Canaan, therefore they're only nolad baratzachem. They're not really living there.
So his father is Canaani, you cannot transact.
Correct, then you must kill. Unless, of course, they're living out of town. We said before, and it could be that that's machlokes, we have the Gemara and Sotah later on, here already, but later on the Gemara discusses, you know, if someone's a Canaanite nation, but they're not living among us, or they're not acting in a way that's maisarishus, must you drive them out and kill them as well? Machlokes, we said whether or not you have to do that. Some people say that as long as they're not acting in a way that's going to be affecting us negatively, you don't have to trace after them and kill them. Others say, no, anyone from the Canaan nation is all you have to wipe out and you have to kill. Muckles we had earlier, later on in the Gemara, we saw it already. Okay, last part here, then we'll stop. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva. So we don't understand now where the drasha comes from, of suggesting that it is a reshus only. Because the second pasuk was really telling you the din of allowing you not to kill them. Rabbi Akiva, how do you learn out an extra drasha to teach you the chova? Mehem tikner nafka. I already knew you're allowed to engage in them. Dr. Rosemary said this earlier on a little bit. That from the pasuk mehem tiknu, from them you can acquire, meaning I don't have to kill them. So nu, lembem tavodu, lamali. Why then repeat this whole drasha? Lembem tavodu. Says the Gemara, lechova. Nu, Rabbi Shmuel, bahem, Rabbi Shmuel, what do you learn from that lembem tavodu now? Bahem, lo ba'achichem. Lembem tavodu, bahem teaches you, davka with them, these other nations, are you allowed to serve, to have them be your slaves in a more intense way, in a more serious fashion, but not with your brothers. With your brothers, you got to treat them with respect. When you enslave them as an Eved Ivri, you do so without intense servitude. Rabbi Akiva, Bachechem, that idea of not enslaving your brothers intensely, we save it to Kronafka. The end of that same pasuk earlier we had is the source for not being too tough on them. As it says, V'achichem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'achiv, lo shir debo b'parach. Do not enslave them with such parach, avodas parach, with such back-breaking labor. We see, you don't with v'ahem, lo b'ahem debo, teaches you, according to Rabbi Shmuel. There you can intensely treat this way, but not fellow Jews. Rabbi Akiva, what are you talking about? We have a direct b'feirish pasuk, V'achichem b'nei Yisrael, ish b'achiv, lo shir debo b'parach. Not by him to avodu, lama to avodu. You don't need that pasuk. I have a pasuk elsewhere explicitly telling me that I can't enslave intensely my Jewish brethren. Rabbi Shmuel says this famous line we see each time: "I did chsiv ubachichem, chsiv nami bahem," because it says ubachichem, but Israel each ubachiv lotzid abaparach. We have also the drasha of bahem. Why? With the time of Rabbi Shmuel, as we say. Rabbi Shmuel, this one Rabbi Shmuel says, oftentimes, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, Koparsh, Shenemra, Vinishnis, Vinishnis, Ela Bishvil, Davashnis, Chadishba. Don't read deeper than that. When the Torah teaches you a Chiddush, and the Chiddush was, over here, the Chiddush was, but why is that a second reading of it? That's a second reading of it? You can enslave them. Lament of Odu taught us, you're saying, that taught us Behem Dafka, and not with their, not intensely to their...
Nahagarim.
You don't have to kill them.
You don't have to kill them.
Don't treat them bad and work them hard.
And the Achechem Bnei Yisrael, Ish V'Achilo, Sir Devaparech, teaches you...
Don't work them too hard.
Don't work them too hard. And the fact that we have Lament Behem Davodu, just because we're trying to learn a new drush out, don't analyze it beyond that new drush we're learning out. We'll stop over here, and we'll do some chazara.